Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to my very last guest, Tom Moore. He's the Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We've been talking about some of the Trump appointees to various cabinet level positions. And I got a very fascinating text while we were on break from John in Milwaukee. He says this. First, what qualifications to be transportation secretary did Pete Buttigieg have? Stop giving half the facts, Maggie. Clinton, Bush, and Obama all had recess appointments. You, Maggie, speak with a forked tongue, and I'm talking to you, angry Maggie. Well, thank you for that feedback, John. Let me take that up. We will get to corruption in government in just a moment, but I thought this was a really important point to discuss. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Yes, I don't think in modern American history there has been a president that hasn't done at least a handful of recess appointments. That's not the point that I believe Mr. Moore were trying to make. Here is the point that we are trying to make. First and foremost, recess appointments for a group of cabinet-level officials, like en masse, has never happened before. Obama didn't do that. Clinton didn't do that. Neither Bush did that. To consider or even think and to have senators openly saying, recess appointments, no problem, that a president would try to basically gut Article 2, which is the portion of our Constitution that sets forth the powers of the legislature, is undemocratic. It violates the separation of powers principles that our founders thought were so important that each of the three branches, Article 1 being the executive branch and presidential powers, Article 2 being the legislative branch and the powers of Congress, here at issue, the Senate's incredibly important power to advise and consent, and then third and finally, the court system. That the idea that the Senate would freely give away its advise and consent powers and abrogate its role in the separation of powers, that a president would fully embrace that, not for lower level appointments, but for the folks, the most important officials in the executive branch other than the president. And that is the people that run these departments that a president and a Senate would consider doing so for numerous critical leaders of these departments is unheard of. That's what we're talking about. We're also talking about the fact that we haven't seen an appointment to, say, you know, the director of national intelligence that has absolutely no experience or very little leading an intelligence agency. This is unusual. That you would consider a man that has been under investigation for nearly the entire time he's been in Congress for what amounts to human trafficking and sex crimes in the name of Matt Gaetz to be attorney general who barely practiced law is totally unheard of. Now, while Pete Buttigieg, for example, may not have had deep experience specifically related to transportation, what he did have was experience as an executive running a large industrial city in the Midwest. That experience having to run a large government apparatus is highly relevant to an appointment to be the Secretary of Transportation, for example. So I am not condemning recess appointments as such. What I'm concerned about is the use of recess appointments in the way that is currently being contemplated by the president-elect and by the Senate without seemingly much discussion. That's what's concerning to me, in addition to the qualifications or lack thereof from certain of these appointees. I also briefly want to address John from Milwaukee. You speaking to me and saying that I speak with a forked tongue and calling me angry. When you say to someone you speak with a forked tongue, you are calling them the devil or Satan. I've read the Bible. I know what you mean by that. John, I'm simply going to say to you, while I'll take your feedback, I will not accept that from you. We can have disagreements without calling each other evil. That's not okay. I would also like to take up your addressing me as angry. If you think I'm angry, I'd like to know what you think about the Nazis that were walking through Columbus, Ohio this weekend. Are they angry? I'd like you to address those people who defiled our Capitol on January 6th. Were they angry? So, again, I think there needs to be consistency about criticism. And I'll also say this. When someone says to a woman, "You're angry," and dismisses a woman because a woman is angry, it resounds and it is rooted in misogyny. I have a right to be angry. I have a right to express that on the radio, as every American has the right to be angry about things. I like to channel my anger into, hey, what are we going to do next? What are we talking about? And I also don't think pointed commentary and being, again, alarmed by things is, quote, anger. And so I'm just going to say to you, I reject your criticism of me as angry. How dare you, sir? Having disagreement doesn't mean that you get to disparage me by using misogynistic and sexist terminology that should be long in our rear view. But if you need to do that to make yourself feel better, you go right ahead. And while I'm on this topic, I'm going to say this. How dare you start using the language of anger towards women? Because that is the oldest trope in the book when it comes to women of color. And women of color in this country have stood up for democracy time and time and time again. And the first thing that is ever said to a woman of color when they raise disagreement or they say, "I object," or "I won't accept that," is, "Why are you so angry?" And so what I have to ask you, John from Milwaukee, after I thank you yet again, sir, for your substantive feedback in our discussion about these appointments and recess appointments, is this. When is the last time in a political debate you looked at another white man who disagreed with you and said to him as the basis for your rebuttal, "You're angry"? And if you haven't tried that one out in person, the next time someone you know, a white man, disagrees with you, I'd like you to look at him and say, "I wish you would be less angry." Because believe you me, John, this is not me angry. This is me so far from angry. This is me being clear and direct and expressing disagreement. And I'd like to be able to do that with you, John, every day and know that we can actually have a substantive debate without resorting to racism or sexism or other hate. And I want to make another clarification because I've gotten some feedback over the last week and a half from folks on the right, often accusing me of not doing what I say. It is not hate to point out hate and to say, "I will not accept it." It is not suppressing speech to say on my show with my name on it, I'm not going to let you use language of violence and discrimination towards groups that have never held the reins of power in this country. Get that clear. Because we are presented with some choices going forward. And the pathway forward is not going to be easy because we all need to recognize the corruption and rot in our government. Any money, any dark money, unlimited sums of money in elections is bad. I don't care where it comes from because money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and I don't care which candidates they're spending money on. And until we can go back to things like Buckley v. Vallejo in 1976 that basically said we can't regulate money in politics, and Citizens United, which took it to its logical conclusion. We, you and I, John, no matter whether you think I'm angry or not, we're getting screwed by the system. And so, John, maybe interrogate your own anger a little bit and figure out if your anger is actually addressed and best directed at me, or whether it's addressed and best directed at the billionaires and 100 millionaires that are buying and selling our elected officials as if they were all purchasable for the highest bidder. Maybe your anger isn't best directed at me. Maybe your criticism isn't even best directed at me. Perhaps your criticism is best directed at those who have allowed a tax code to continue to burden the middle class while we trickle up money to the billionaires and 100 millionaires and give them a free pass. Maybe that's where your anger is best directed at me. Maybe that's where your energy might be better directed to see changes that we need to see in this country. But your comments are welcome, not the name calling, sir. 855-757-4842. We're going to take care of some business. We're going to come back and we're going to talk more about corruption. Maybe John's got some other thoughts for me that don't involve name calling when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.